واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته I want to talk to you today inshallah about a time which is inshallah coming upon us and we hope and ask and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes us witness to that time and also gives us the tawfiq and the ability to make the best of that time. And that time is the month of Ramadan. Psychologists tell us that habit change takes 21 days. If you have a habit and you want to change that habit, or if you do not have a particular habit and you would like to inculcate that habit, then they say that if you do that particular action for 21 days continuously, then that becomes a habit. Then it becomes easy for you to do. For example, if you like to wake up earlier in the morning than what you normally do, so instead of waking up at early morning at 11 o'clock, you would like to wake up early morning at 10 o'clock. Then if you do that for 21 days continuously, then inshallah you will start waking up early morning at 10 o'clock. And then similarly for, you know, earlier than that. We are about to, therefore, as I said, we are about to enter the annual habit change workshop, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us as His mercy every year to help us to cultivate the habits of the Jannah, the habits of people of the Jannah. As we are all aware, there is so much emphasis on good conduct and good speech and avoiding wrong behavior during fasting that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you to abstain from food and abstain from drink and water and abstain from relationships and so forth if you are not going to change your behavior and bring it in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. So the good behavior in Ramadan is as important as, if not more, than not eating and not drinking and so on. And that is why we have Ramadan, which is a special time to practice this ideal way. And that ideal way is the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of making these behaviors and attitudes permanent for the rest of our lives. Because Ramadan is not about 1 month. Ramadan is about bringing about changes in ourselves for the rest of our lives going forward from that Ramadan onwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this blessed month of Ramadan, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqun, people of taqwa. The first and most critical condition of being a jannati, of being a person of the jannah, is to be a muttaqi, is to be a person of taqwa. It is good to remind ourselves that all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and reward are for the mu'minun and the muttaqun. There are no promises for merely the muslimun. Islam and becoming a Muslim is the boundary condition. It is what separates you from the people of the fire. But once you enter, that is just the door. Islam is the door. Once you enter, then you have to make effort to get to a point where you become the object of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises. So we need to make some effort to become muttaqi. And remember, whether or not I am a muttaqi, I cannot proclaim it for myself, you cannot proclaim it for me, and I cannot proclaim the fact that so and so is a muttaqi for somebody else. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides the level of taqwa, which is what elevates the status of people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the most akram, the person who is most honorable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the most, who has the most taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also promised hidayah and guidance only to the people of taqwa, where he said in his book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this book is a book in which there is no doubt. And it has hidayah, it has guidance for the muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that He loves the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, Bala man awfa bi ahdihi wattaqa fa inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah to the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna lil muttaqeena mafaza hadaiqa wa a'naba wa kawa'iba turaba wa ka'san dihaqa la yasma'una fiha lagwan wala kithaba jaza'an min rabbika ata'an hisaba. In Surah Naba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah for the muttaqeen, and He described the Jannah, and He described the beauty of the Jannah. He described what will happen in the Jannah. He described what we get in the Jannah. He said that there will be no idle talk in the Jannah, and so on, and all. Jaza'an min rabbika ata'an hisaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the reward from their Rabb, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to race towards the Jannah, and He said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, race towards the forgiveness from your Rabb and for the Jannah, which is as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for al-muttaqoon. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I say finally, this is not the last ayah about muttaqun. Many of them, last ayah in my particular khutbah today. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the muttaqeen, وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا خَيْرًا لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ وَلَنِعْمَ دَارُ الْمُتَّقِينَ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ كَذَلِكَ يَجْزِي اللَّهُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again mentions the muttaqun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمُ دُخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَدُخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, and when it is said to those who are the muttaqun, what is it that your Rabb has sent down? They will say, our Rabb sent down that which is good. For those who do good in this world, there is good, and the home of the hereafter will be better. And excellent indeed will be the home of the muttaqun. Adin, which is the Jannah, which they will enter, under which rivers flow, they will have therein all that they wish. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the muttaqun, those whose lives the angels take while they are in a pious state, in the state of taqwa, saying to them, Salamun alaykum, udkhulul jannah, enter the Jannah because of the good which you used to do in the world. SubhanAllah, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing how the last moments of a muttaqi happen, where the bashara of Jannah is given to the muttaqi by the angels themselves as they are extracting his soul. And there are several other ayat also in the Quran which talk about the last moments of the muttaqeen, which also point to a similar thing, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nuzulam min ghafuri rahim. The angels will come and they say, this is the nuzul is means something which is a welcome. It's a taste of all the good that is going to happen, or all that is going to happen afterwards. And this word nuzul is used, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. Now, so therefore, if there is so much of emphasis on being a muttaqi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending us this month, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree for us that we live long enough to see this month, and then we make the best use of this month, inshallah. So if there is so much of emphasis on being a muttaqi, and if this month is so important, then what are these habits of the people of Jannah that we need to inculcate? Now, I have identified six of them, and which I will talk to you briefly today. The first one is obedience. Because obedience is the beginning of all good. There is no goodness for someone who does not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be very, very clear in our minds about this matter. There are there's no doubt about this. So the first habit to be inculcated, cultivated, ingrained in ourselves is unquestioning obedience to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where it begins. Without obedience, we have only a rebellious nafs. And there is no hope of ever becoming a muttaqi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the obedience of the sahaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّنَا آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُّسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what the Sahaba said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the messenger believes, and I mentioned to you the hadith that relates to the nuzul of this ayah, and I mentioned this to you before, so I'm not going to mention it here. It's a beautiful hadith. It is, if you read Tafsir ibn Kathir, it is there in Tafsir itself, and about what happened and when these ayat were revealed and why these ayat were revealed and so on. We will not go into those details, but let it suffice to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these ayat as a consequence of the action of the Sahaba when they accepted the hukum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah said the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. The believers also believe in what was sent down. Each one believes in Allah, in his angels, his books and his messengers, and they say we make no distinction between one or another of his messengers, and they say we hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Rabb, and to you is the return of all. Sami'na wa atana is the position of the Muslim. We hear and we obey. Not we hear, we question, and then we obey what we feel like obeying, and we leave out what we do not feel like obeying. Sami'na wa atana. Sami'na dil bola to atana nahi bole. Sami'na pasand aaya to atana nahi bole. Sami'na wa atana. हमारे हैदराबाद के वास्ते नया ट्रांसलेशन कर रहा कुरान का. हमारा दिल नहीं बोल रहा, खबर में गया तो बोलता, उससे पहले बुलाना है वो दिल को, कुछ काम होना है तो. Now it's the right and the glory. Why this whole instance on obedience? Because it is the right and of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should be obeyed without question. This is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who is not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is deliberately disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is doing zulm on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, I mean, imagine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Zulm on whom? Zulm on whom? When the man is doing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is doing zulm on whom? On Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zulmun azim. Now obviously our zulm does not affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean that the zulm is, just because it does not affect Allah, it does not mean it is acceptable. It is not acceptable. It is the worst. Inna shirka la zulmun azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Worst of sins is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so let us be very clear that the sign of ubudiyya, the sign of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sign of ubudiyya of Islam is the sajda, the sujood. And that is the reason why the sajda is haram to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that level of obedience is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For everyone else, you have every right to question. But for the Muslim, once a Muslim has entered Islam, the only acceptable position for the Muslim is sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return, and we ask him for him to forgive us. So the slave who does not obey, the abd who does not obey the Rabb, is worthy of punishment. And obviously we do not wish to be part of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Now Ramadan comes to teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed whether or not his orders appeal to our reason, appeal to our logic, appeal to our desire, appeal to our intelligence or anything else. Whether or not the order we understand it, we obey it. Whether or not the order we like it, we obey it. Whether or not the order makes sense to us, we obey it. Because ask yourself this very simple question. What sense does it make that for 30 days you will not eat or drink anything? A grain of rice will not go down your throat. A drop of water will not go down your throat. You will not have relations with your wife who is legal for you for 30 days from dawn to dusk. Does it make sense? How does it make sense? How does this affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Samad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ghaniyul Hamid. Just because you don't eat food, it affects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we do this? Within quotes, this is an order which is highly unreasonable. I mean, what is the reason for this order? This order is highly reasonable because it reinforces the fact that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only and only because that is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, hang yourself upside down from the ceiling, that would be the order of Allah, and we would have to do that if that was the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is to reinforce the fact. That is the reason why during Ramadan, even what is halal has been made haram on us for a period of time. What about that which is haram in itself? Think about this. In Ramadan, what is halal? Normally what is halal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kulu washrabu. Allah said, eat and drink what is being given to you, what is halal for you. Alhamdulillah, if we eat and drink what is halal in the proper manner, without excess, and if we eat and drink that and we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that eating and drinking into an action of ibadah. And He will actually reward us for this eating and drinking. But the same eating and drinking in Ramadan from dawn to dusk has been made haram on the Muslim. He cannot eat and he cannot drink. Why is this order? This order is only for one reason, which is to reinforce the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed irrespective of what the order is. That Allah is to be obeyed no matter whether the order makes sense or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed no matter whether we like to do that or we don't like to do that. No matter how much you might like to eat something, you do not eat it because you are fasting. No matter how much you like to drink something, no matter how thirsty you are, you do not drink because you are fasting. Why? Because only to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think about this and say that for 30 days we are going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally. Then after the 30th day, what are we going to do with regard to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ask yourself this question. Because if we don't do that, after 30 days if we start going and doing things which are intrinsically haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made interest dealings in interest haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made gambling haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made horse racing and betting on horses haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made alcohol haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all the things which are intrinsically bad and harmful in themselves haram. If we are going to do those things after once Ramadan is over, then ask ourselves whether or not we should be put in the group of munafiqeen, because that what we are doing are the actions of the munafiqeen. Because in Ramadan we are saying, oh Allah, we obey you unconditionally. And after Ramadan we say, oh Allah, we obey you only when we feel like obeying you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Think about this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this. So the first condition is to obey. And therefore, there is no such thing as a non-practicing Muslim. There is no NPM. Right? They have got non-practicing Christians and non-practicing Jews and so on and so forth. And there is no such thing as a non-practicing Muslim. He does not practice, he's not a Muslim. Period. So 30 days, first habit to inculcate is what? Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 30 days we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that for the rest of our lives we become completely and totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second one, attention to iman, salah and to spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that al-hidayah is for the muttaqoon. And he mentioned three top qualities of the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghaybi wa yuqeemuna salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon. Who are the muttaqoon? Allah said, these are the people who have belief in the ghayb. These are the people who establish the salah, and these are the people who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you inculcate these three habits? Number one, you inculcate iman bil ghayb by speaking about the ghayb. That which you don't speak about disappears from your mind. It becomes a memory, and over time it becomes a legend, and over time it becomes mythology. What you keep mentioning and talking about and reminding yourself with remains real for us. And therefore, how do you inculcate iman bil ghaib? By speaking about the greatness and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By speaking about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By speaking about his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teachings. By speaking about the Jannah and Jahannam. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said that Allah is haqq. And he said that Jannatu haqq. Wa naru haqq. Wa liqa'uka haqq. Wa nabiyuka haqq. He said, oh Allah, your meeting with you is haqq. Your Jannah is haqq. Your nar is haqq. Your nabi is haqq. And you are haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qulil haqqu min rabbikum. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, the haqq, the truth, is your Rabb. So first way of cultivating this habit is to talk. Speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in Jummah khutbas, in your homes, conversation with your children. Ask yourselves, how many times in the last 1 week from last Jummah to this Jummah, in your home, how many times did you speak about the greatness and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your own wives and children? Ask yourself, how many times in the last 1 week has gone by, how many times in that week did you talk about the Jannah wa Nar? In that last 1 week that went past, ask yourself, how many times did you remind yourself and your family about the importance of the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Remember, if you had done that, you would have, the iman bil ghaib would have become stronger in your heart, and for every word you spoke, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have rewarded you, and 1 week worth of good deeds would have been in your account. Ask these questions. We talk all kinds of nonsensical stuff which has absolutely no meaning. It's either a complete waste or in some cases it is haram. But we do not talk about the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second way to cultivate, second thing to do, iman bil ghaib is over. Second one, establishing of the salah. Alhamdulillah, during Ramadan, masajid are full. You know, Eid al-Fitr is a day of happiness for us. But wallahi, if the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could speak, they would say Eid al-Fitr is a day of mourning. It is a day when the masajid will cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the masajid of the world empty on Eid al-Fitr. The masjid would cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Allah, this day is not a day of happiness for me. This is a day of sadness for me. True. Masjid empty. In Ramadan, masjid full. People who do not even pray farad of salah will go for taraweeh. Alhamdulillah, very good. Please do that. But is salah only for Ramadan? What about the rest of the year? What shall we do with the masajid for the rest of the year? Establishment of salah. 30 days we pray in the masjid, make that into a habit for the rest of your life. No salah of yours must be prayed outside the masjid. Always try to pray every salah in the masjid. Obviously pray every salah. I don't even have to say that. But try to play every salah in the masjid, or at least one salah per day, two salawat per day in the masjid. Keep the masjid abad. Do not make masajid viran. Third issue, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, our spending is shaitan based. It is not Allah based. And you know why I say that? Because we spend only when the shaitan is chained. Ajib. Our spending is based on shaitan. Jamil bhai used to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him give him Jannah and fill his khabar with noor. He used to say, make your jeb Musalman. Ajib. He used to say, make your pocket Musalman. He said, your pockets are not Muslim. The pocket kafir hai. Baat karte, jeb se paisa nahi nikalta bolte. Charity is only for Ramadan. Once again, habit to be inculcated for the rest of our lives. Let us make sure that for the rest of our lives, we continue to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Ramadan has come to inculcate those habits. Number three, attention to seeking knowledge and to tilawatil Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, hudal linnasi wa bayyinatim minal huda wal furqan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the month of Ramadan is the month in which was revealed the Quran, which is the guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and for the criterion of distinguishing between right and wrong, Al-Furqan. Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we read more Quran than we normally read. We read some Quran ourselves. We listen to Quran in Taraweeh. But remember, listen to the Quran with the adab of the Quran. Forcing the imam or trying to force the imam to recite fast is to go against the Quran. It's to go against the adab of the Quran. The Quran is to be recited in a particular manner, keeping the usul of tajweed in mind. To force the hafiz, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our hufaz. Subhanallah, this is the tragedy of this upside down ummah we have. The imam is subservient to the muqtadeen. La hawla quwwata illa billah. I say to the imams, if you do not have the guts to stand on this minbar, and if you do not have the guts to stand on this musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to tell people what is right and wrong, get out from here, leave this place. You are unfit to stand here. If you are afraid of the people, it is not the job of the imam to follow what the muqtadeen are saying. लोगों को पसंद नहीं है, ड्रामा कर रहे हैं, नाटक करने के वास्ते है, लोगों को पसंद कराने के वास्ते है, एंटरटेनमेंट कराने का है, वोट लेने का है, क्या अल्लाह का दीन सिखाने का है, लोगों को पसंद नहीं है, भर में जाए लोग, हमारे क्या करने का है, लोगों को पसंद कराना नहीं कराने का, नौकरी जाती है ऐसी की तैसी नौकरी, अल्लाह राजिक है, मस्जिद कमेटी राजिक नहीं है आपकी. से वॉट इज द ट्रूथ विदाउट फियर एंड लेट दोज पीपल हु ट्राई टू फोर्स द आइमा, फोर्स द इमाम्स to do what is against the Quran and Sunnah, let them fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that poor imam, for the sake of his belly, he listens to you, he knows he is doing wrong. But he listens to you because he is afraid of you, more than he is afraid of Allah. But that guna and that sin will be on your heads if you don't watch out. Please don't do that. Please make sure that you ensure that you speak only what is right, and you do not say what is not correct. And to recite the Quran too fast, and to try to finish the Quran, shabina hamare paas, Allah rahim kare. All of these things of trying to recite the whole Quran in one night, or trying to recite the Quran in, you know, finish the Quran in 5 days and 4 days and whatnot, all of this is against the adab of the Quran. All of this is prohibited. Please do not do that. Come for Taraweeh, listen to Taraweeh, enjoy the recitation of the Quran. Be no matter how slow the Hafiz recites, believe me, it makes only a matter of 15 to 20 minutes. And that 15 to 20 minutes, you will cry tears of blood on the day of judgment if you realize what is the value of that 20 minutes of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to finish it fast. Finish fast and go home. I don't want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want the nuzul of the malaika. I don't want the hasanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to me. Let me get out of here. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. If that is your attitude, my sincere and serious advice to you, standing here I am saying, do not come for Taraweeh. Taraweeh is not fard. Pray Isha and go to sleep in the house. You are better off rather than coming into masajid and making fitra because the imam is reciting slowly. It is the job of the imam to recite the Quran according to the adab of the Quran. And that is what should be done. Alhamdulillah, in this masjid, that is what is done. And as long as there is breath in my body, that is what will be done. Let us be very clear about this, inshallah, al-mustaan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, make the reading of the Quran, listening to the Quran, enjoying the Quran, understanding the Quran, bringing the Quran into our lives, let this become a habit which we inculcate and we ingrain in ourselves during the month of Ramadan. Number 4, attention to dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And this ayah came in the middle of the ayat of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. And when he asks me, I listen to him and I will give him and I will grant him what he wants. But Allah put two conditions. Yastajibu li wal yuminu bi. Allah said, let him accept me, let him obey me, and let him have faith in me. The dua, acceptance of dua is for the muttaqun. Acceptance of dua is for those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside in their whole lives. And then when they raise their hands for dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua before those hands come down. Please understand, this is something which is the greatest blessing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." He said, "The du'a is the brain of the ibadah." He said, "It is the hasil of the ibadah. It is the essence of the ibadah." And therefore, let us not waste our du'a. Learn how to make du'a in Ramadan. Inculcate that habit. Make it a good habit that you make your du'as become accepted and continue that throughout your life. Because remember, two things, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is what Allah said, that the dua is accepted only for somebody who is al-muttaqun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's why I have said this before, make friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ke awliya bano. Allah ke awliya banne ki khahish karo. Allah ke awliya banne ke upar mehnat karo. Allah ne kaha, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ilan nur. Allah ne kaha ki Allah mu'minin ke wali hai. Allah ne kaha ki Allah mu'minin ka wali hai. Unko andheron mein se ujale mein nikal lata hai. Unko gumrahi mein se hidayat mein lata hai. Allah is the wali of the mu'minin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracts them from darkness of misguidance into the guidance and the light of guidance. Become friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your friend. Become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you that? By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By completely cleaning your life from all shirk. Ask only Allah. Allah said, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي. When my slave asks about me, Allah did not say when my slave asks about me in the name of this one and that one, there is no need for anybody's name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your creator and you are his creature. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَسْتَجِبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, obey me and have iman in me, have faith in me. Become awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make it a situation, make it a habit that in every conceivable situation, the first thought in the mind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of Tawheedul Rububiyah, that any issue in our lives, the first thing we think about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have a simple headache, do I ask yourself the test? The minute you have a headache, what is the first thought in your mind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Tylenol? Do you first make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or do you go hunting for your medicine? Which one do you do first? It's a test. Test of Tawheedul Rububiyah. What do you think of first? It is not haram, it is not najais for you to go and find medicine. By all means, use all the means that have been provided as long as those means are halal. But what is the first thought? Your reliance, is it going on asbab or is your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tawakkul ala al-asbab is shirk. To have tawakkul on asbab is shirk. To have reliance on asbab, to have reliance on the means is shirk. We use the means. We do not rely on the means. Tawakkul ala Allah. The sabab is to be used. We do not rely on the sabab. We do not say, I became well because of this thing. I became well because it is the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 5. Attention to personal conduct and huququl ibad. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again many ayat of the Quran, many ahadiths. In Jummah, I try to keep it all short because we don't have too much time. But in Ramadan, what do? We protect our eyes, we protect our tongues, we protect our ears, we do not listen to haram, we do not look at haram, we do not speak haram, we do not curse, we do not shout, we are not angry. When we get angry, we swallow our anger. If somebody is angry with us, we say, Anasaim, I am fasting, I will not argue with you, I will not fight with you. We do all of these things. What about after Ramadan? 30 days of abstaining from loose talk, 30 days of abstaining from ghibah, 30 days of abstaining from cursing, 30 days of abstaining from useless talk, 30 days of abstaining from not watching haram, 30 days of abstaining from not listening to haram, these must become ingrained habits. On the 31st day, we do not do, the first thing we do is switch on the television channel, no. 30 days, now it's a habit. And alhamdulillah, it's a good habit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Hujarat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَى أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِّسَاءٍ عَسَى أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَن لَّمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَب بَّعْضُكُم بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Surah Al-Hujarat. SubhanAllah, we must make this surah, hifz of this surah. Because this surah is the essence of the akhlaq of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers are nothing but brothers in Islam. So make reconciliation. If there is a difference between them, reconcile the difference. Aslihu bainahum. Make reconcile their differences. And then Allah says, and fear Allah so that you may receive mercy. O you who believe, let not a group of you laugh at another group. And let, because that other group might be better than the former, might be better than you. And let not the women laugh at other women because those other women may be better than them. And do not defame one another. Do not insult one another. And do not use bad nicknames. We use all kinds of nicknames. I don't want to stand here and I can think of many typical Hyderabadi nicknames we give to each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not use these nicknames. You are not giving these names for honor, you are giving these names to insult somebody. Do not do that. Allah said, how bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith? How bad is it that you have iman and you still curse and use bad language? And whosoever does not repent, then such are the zalimun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you who believe, avoid suspicion. Indeed, suspicion is sin. Indeed, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sin. And do not spy on one another. And do not backbite one another. Do not make riba. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it. Even the example, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ كَرَاهَتْ آپ کو آتی ہے سن کے. Allah says, you hate to listen to this. You hate to eat the flesh of your dead brother. Similarly, hate backbiting. And fear Allah. Verily, Allah is the one who accepts repentance and is most merciful. There are many major matters of huquq-ul ibad which are also mentioned and which we should talk about. I am not going into all of that because of want of time. But definitely, these matters in the Surah Al-Hujurat, from the ayah from 10 to 12, three ayats, talk about some of the most common things that we do. Our entire social life is based on ghibah. May Allah protect us. What is ghibah? Ghibat is to say something factual about somebody which is uncomplimentary to that person. Please understand this. If it is actually true and you say it, but it is uncomplimentary, that is ghibah. If you are saying something which is not true, that is even worse. Because that is buhtan. That is you are slandering somebody. And what is the example of ghibah? The best example, and this is the epitome of good behavior. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam about one of his other wives, and I think it was about Sayyidatina Sauda radiallahu anha. She said that She said that she is a bit heavy. She said she's a bit fat. She said she's a bit heavy. Because Sauda radiallahu anha was also much older. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha, if this word of yours were taken and put into the ocean, it would make the water of all the oceans bitter like poison. For saying what? For actually saying, was Sauda radiallahu anha, was she not heavy? She was fat. That was a fact. That was a fact. But because she said it in a particular way, which is like poking fun at somebody, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is ghibah. And he said, this is the essence of, this is what ghibah is. If you say about something else, and may Allah protect us, what do? We go to weddings, and then we come back and we make tafsira about how this one looked and how that one looked. Unhone kitni kharab dikh rahi thi, uske kapde kaise the, uske zewara kitne bure dikh rahe the. اور اس کے بعد میں اللہ کا بندہ وہ شیطان جو ہے سو نے کیا کرتا فوٹوں کا پورا البم لے کے آتا. I'm sorry, all my Arab friends, sorry, we'll come back to you in English. We go to these weddings. You all don't do this. Only we do this. So you don't have to listen. We go to the weddings and we make all these comments about women's jewelry and how bad the jewelry looks and how bad she was looking and so on and so on. Then the shaitan brings the photo albums. Right? So now we look at the album and each photograph is major tafsir on the photograph. Oh, look at that. You know what? I didn't even see her like this. Oh my God, she is like this. She was looking like that on that day. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. The biggest tragedy about ghibah is that with ghibah, our good deeds go to the person about whom we are saying these bad things. Yes? Now think about this. Who do we say bad things about? About people we dislike. Now, how intelligent is it to give your good deeds to somebody you hate? That is why Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah said, if I had to make ghiba, I would make ghiba of my mother. Because I said, at least my good deeds will go to my mother. How intelligent is it to give your good deeds to somebody you don't even like in the first place? Please, these are all bad habits. Let us get out of them. Ramadan comes for that purpose. Alhamdulillah, because it is Ramadan, we don't do these things in the 30 days. Make sure we never do them for the rest of our lives. Last habit to inculcate is an attention on reflection and self-correction. Finally, in Ramadan, right through the month, but especially in the last 10 days, Alhamdulillah, for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to make aitikaf in the masajid of Allah, we spend 10 days in solitude, in silence, in reflecting, in taking our own hisab, introspection. Let us make the best of aitikaf. Aitikaf is not a place to hang out. Aitikaf is not a place to join with all your friends and find out which masjid are you going to. I will go there. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Go and find out which masjid all the ones you hate are going to. Then go to that masjid. Because it will be easier for you to keep silent, because you don't want to talk to them anyway. So you can go and sit there and you can use your nafs a little bit. Try to be nice to the people you don't like. Alhamdulillah, maybe that's what we should do, yeah? Please, do not make aitikaf into a networking opportunity. Aitikaf is not a place to hang out. Aitikaf is not a place to eat all kinds of great food and more food and more food. Aitikaf is not a place to laze around and do nothing and then talk all kinds of stuff. No. Aitikaf is meant for silence, for reflection. If we speak only about the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we speak, we only speak about the Quran and the Sunnah and so forth. We do not do anything other than that. We worship, we read Quran, if we don't have anything else to do, we make zikr or we go to sleep, we sleep less, we eat less, we stand in the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make the best of that opportunity. Once again, why? To inculcate this habit of self-reflection, introspection, self-correction, because we want to make sure that when the time comes that we open our eyes before our eyes are opened for us by Malakul Maut. 21 days, as I told you, it takes to bring about habit change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a week more, 30 days. Subhanallah, if in 30 days we cannot change a habit, then we are in serious trouble. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to bring about a habit change, to take us to this Ramadan, to grant us this Ramadan, to give us the opportunity to make the best of this Ramadan and to completely and totally transform and change our lives and make them completely and totally obedient to Himself. From this Ramadan going forward till the end of our days. And my brothers and sisters, do not fool yourself. The end of our days is far quicker and much earlier than we expect. Subhanallah, we have seen incident after incident after incident where people who we did not even imagine that so and so would not be alive, today is no longer alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all the best in the Jannah. May Allah forgive all their sins. But the fact remains that those people did not expect to die, but they died. Neither do we expect. We also don't expect to die, but we will also die. So let us make sure that before that time comes, that we correct ourselves and we live our lives in such a way that when the time comes to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will stand in the shade of His forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.